So the trajectory of the entire Bible is moving towards a single glorious end, and that is a day when all nations, all peoples, all ethnic groups, the day when they will worship the one true and living God. Yet, doesn't take long. All we have to do is look around and see that that day is not yet here. We look around and we find joyless faces. We see those empty lives. We often hear God's name used more in vain than it is declaring his praise. We watch a world that is consumed with self-love rather than the love of our Father. And if we're honest, that concern doesn't just stop out there. It hits closer to home among ourselves. Let me ask you, does it trouble you to see professing believers that chase after their own dreams, their own desires, rather than fully giving themselves to a life of service and sacrifice unto God? Does it grieve you that in many places worship has become something that people attend rather than something that they offer? That in many of our churches, we've now hired professional worshipers that do all the performing while everybody else just sits and watches. Instead of our churches being filled with servants and participants, the pews are often filled with spectators and critics. We have to ask the question, why does there seem to be such a growing apathy towards the very mission that Christ has given his church? Make no mistake, God desires our worship. But he desires worship not just from a few. He desires it from all people. In fact, that's the very aim of the gospel itself. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. He says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. And then 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So did you hear what Paul just said? He says, as the grace of God spreads to more and more people, thanksgiving increases, and God gets more glory. In other words, the spread of the gospel leads to the spread of worship among the people, which means the call for all peoples to worship God is also a call for God's people to go and to make him known. And that's exactly what Psalm 67 is all about. This psalm contains both a prayer and a purpose. The aim of the psalm is clear, that all peoples would praise God and sing for joy. And so flowing out of the witness of Psalm 66, the psalmist now turns outward. He prays that God would pour out his grace among the people, that his grace would not stop with them, but rather that God's grace would spread through them. And that brings us to the central truth of our psalm this morning, a truth that is absolutely essential for understanding not only this passage, but the very purpose of our lives. This morning, I'm going to condense it all into a sermon in a sentence. Back in the days of attending seminary, my wife and family and I, we lived in Fort Worth, and going through Southwestern at the time, and we were members of Wedgwood Baptist Church, and the pastor, Brother Al Meredith, a couple of things that he would always do that I just loved is, one thing, he would always spontaneously burst out in singing during his messages, and then the church would join in and sing along with him. I just loved that. I always thought it'd be so cool if I had a singing voice to be a singing pastor, but I don't have that voice. So that's just a special gift for other people. But often he would always condense his message down into a sermon in a sentence. And so in the back of your bulletins, you have the sermon in a sentence today. Our sermon in the sentence this morning is that God blesses his people so that his saving power will be known and his praise will spread among all peoples. That's Psalm 67 condensed into a single sentence. Here's where we must be careful. Because if we're not paying attention, we'll take the blessings of God and then we'll make them all about us. We'll seek his hand, but we'll forget about his mission. And the psalmist does something very intentional. Before he talks to the nations, before he speaks about the world, he begins with a prayer. And so that's where we find ourselves in verse number 1, is the prayer for God's blessing. Verse 1 says, may God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with us or smile with favor on us. And so from the very beginning, the psalmist teaches us something very crucial to our understanding. Before we can be a blessing to the nations, we must first receive the blessing of God. Now, this is a prayer. It is a desperate, dependent cry for God's mercy and his favor. If it sounds familiar, it should, because this is the language that is drawn directly from Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. This prayer was the blessing spoken over God's people as they journeyed to the promised land. It was a reminder that every step that they took in that journey depended upon God's providence, his presence, and his protection. And that's what's exactly what the psalmist is praying for in our psalm this morning. He's asking God to bless, to keep, to be gracious, to be present, to give peace. So let's consider what he's saying. He's connecting it to Numbers chapter 6, but let's be clear on what that means. When we say for the Lord to bless us, that is to ask God to provide all the necessities of life. The things that we cannot provide for ourselves. To ask him to keep us is to acknowledge that we're not strong enough to sustain ourselves. We need divine intervention. The same God that had the power to keep his people as they marched to the promised land has the same power to deliver his people from the pitfalls of life or for the circumstances that we face. So to ask God for his face to shine upon us, well, that's to ask God for his presence, his favor, his smile upon us. It simply is a reminder that God's presence is always with his people. And don't miss the weight of that statement. The God of heaven is not distant, nor is he indifferent towards his people. No, he turns his face to them. He's attentive. He's near. He's paying attention. He's observing everything. And so to ask for grace is to ask for God to give us what we don't deserve. That's his mercy. It's to ask him to withhold from us the very thing that we do deserve, and that's his condemnation and wrath. And then to ask for peace, Peace is way more than just having calm circumstances in life. It is to have reconciliation with God, to be at peace with the Creator. That is a deep, abiding assurance that comes only for those that belong to Him. And we need all of this. We need His provision. We need His protection. We need His presence. We need His grace. We need His peace. But don't miss this, because this is where way too many people stop. They want the blessings from God, but not the purpose behind those blessings. I think that's why the psalmist adds a pause at this point, a selah, or an interlude. It's an intentional time for us to stop and to reflect what he's just said. And so let the truth sink in. God's blessing is not something for us to rush past quickly or casually. No, we pause, reflect. We ought to receive those blessings, give consideration to those blessings. But then we don't stop with that. It causes us to move forward. Why? Well, back to the sermon in the sentence. Because God blesses his people so that his saving power will be known and his praise will spread among all the peoples. And so we get to the second part that leads us directly into this next section. We saw the prayer for God's blessing. Now we're going to see the purpose of God's blessing. Look at verse number 2. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. Here we find the turning point of the psalm. See, verse 1 asked for blessing, but verse 2 answers the question, why? What's the purpose behind those blessings? And the purpose is so that his ways may be known on the earth. So don't miss this, because this gives us the purpose behind the prayer. God's blessing is never meant to terminate on his people. It's meant to flow through his people to the ends of the earth. God blesses his people so that his saving power will be known and his praise will spread among all people. So the psalmist is not content with personal blessing. No, he's burdened for global worship. He longs for the nations to know God's way. He has a deep desire for the world to experience God's salvation. Oh, he feels the weight, the burden of all people in all places that they would erupt in God-glorifying praise unto the Father. And so you see the repetition that he uses. May the nations praise you. May all the nations praise you. And this is not casual language. This is the cry of his heart. The psalmist sees a world that does not know the Father, and he cannot remain silent about that reality. And so the question for us is, do we feel that same burden? Are we moved by the untold billions around the world in our families, in our community? Do we feel the heaviness in knowing that within a 20-minute drive from this church, 27,000 people, do we feel the weight of sharing the gospel with them so that they can come and to know the Father in a salvific kind of way? Are we shaken by the fact that the unsaved are going to spend eternity in hell, eternally separated from all the good that the Father has to offer? Do you realize that they're never going to repent without first hearing? They're not going to hear unless we get out there and share the gospel directly with them. So do you feel the burden of it? If you feel the burden of it, are you willing to go? Are you willing to be sent by God to share His message of salvation with all people in all places at all times? I mean, listen to the urgency of Scripture. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. It says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then it says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I mean, do you hear the connection? One cannot call upon God for salvation unless they believe. One cannot believe unless they hear the gospel message. One cannot hear the gospel message unless someone is willing to enter into their world and share that message directly with them. Which means that God has chosen to make His saving power known through His people. He could have chosen any way, but He chose to work through His people, through His church, in order to make His message of salvation known unto the world. That's why we're blessed. We're blessed not merely to enjoy God's grace, but to extend that grace. We've been blessed not merely to gather in worship, no, but to seek to try to multiply worship. Why? Because God blesses His people, so that His saving power will be known and that His praise will spread among all peoples. And notice where this is all heading in verse number 4. It says, "Let the whole world sing for joy." I mean, that's the goal. Not reluctant submission, but joyful worship. And why? Because God reigns. He governs the nations with perfect justice. He guides His people with perfect wisdom. I mean, in a world that's marked with confusion and corruption and broken leadership, the psalmist points us to the only true King who rules rightly and leads perfectly. And when people come to know Him, when they experience His salvation, the result of that is not burden. It's joy. It's deep, abiding, eternal joy. And again, this is where the psalmist causes for a pause, a Selah. Stop and reflect and consider. God's blessing in your life was never meant to end with you. His blessing was meant to reach the nations through you. So here's the question that naturally follows. Will this actually happen? Will the nations really come to praise God? And thankfully, the psalmist doesn't leave us wondering. No, he moves from a prayer to the purpose, and now he's going to share the promise of God's blessing. Look at verse number 5. It says, "May the nations praise you, O God." Yes, may all the nations praise you. I mean, you recognize that? It should look familiar. It's not new. It's a repetition of verse number 3. And that repetition is intentional, because what began as a prayer is now being reinforced as a certainty. This is not a wishful thinking. No, this is the direction of history. God will be praised among the nations, and he will use his people in order to accomplish it. Why? Because God blesses his people, so his saving power will be known and his praise will spread among all peoples. This is not just a calling. It's a guarantee. It is a settled reality of what will occur. This is why Jesus gives us the Great Commission along with a promise. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" See, the promise is in knowing that we're not alone. No, we go with the authority of Christ. Not only that, we go with the presence of Christ with us as we go. Which means that we do not have the option of sitting back and turning the blessings of God into some self-centered experience that ends and terminates with ourselves. God has given us his gospel. He has given us his grace. He has given us countless blessings, not so that we would keep them and hoard them for ourselves, but so that we would leverage them for his glory to be made known among the nations. The time is short. The need is urgent. And this must captivate our lives, because in essence, this is what it means to be the church. That we would strive together, side by side, with a great passion to take the message of salvation to all parts of the world and our community. Here we see the psalm close with promise. Verse 6. "Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us." Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. See, the psalmist points to a harvest. A harvest is a visible, tangible sign of God's blessing. But he understands something much deeper. He understands that no matter how hard a farmer might work, he cannot produce a harvest on his own. Only God can send the rain. Only God can bring the growth. And so that's the same truth in our lives today. Our efforts, apart from God's blessings, are empty. But when we walk in obedience, when we trust in him, when we align our lives with his purpose, then God provides, God blesses, God moves. Listen to the promise of Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. God said to the people, he says, "If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." Here we see again that God's blessings have always had a purpose beyond his people. When Israel was blessed, the nations were meant to see that blessing so that they would recognize the one true God and fear that God. And the same is true today. When God blesses his people, when God sustains them, when he works in and through their lives, the world takes notice, and that becomes an opportunity. An opportunity for what? Well, it's now an opportunity for us to point them directly unto Christ. It's an opportunity for us to declare God's saving power. It's an opportunity for us to invite them into worship. Why? Again, because God blesses his people so that his saving power will be known and his praise will spread among all peoples. So until Christ returns, our calling is clear. You know, we pray for his kingdom to come, but we don't just sit back and wait for it to happen. We have something to do in the meanwhile. And until he comes back, or until he calls us home to be with him, then we're to proclaim his gospel to the ends of the earth so that more and more people would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and more worshipers will be thankful and give glory unto God. So God blesses his people, not for their sake alone, but so that across the community, across the nations, across the world, so that his name would be feared, that his son would be trusted, and his glory would be praised. Before we close, let me ask you a very simple but important question. What are you currently doing with the blessing of God in your life? Because Psalm 67 makes this unmistakably clear. God blesses his people so that his saving power would be known and that his praise would spread among all peoples. So where do you stand within that reality? For some, yeah, your first step is not to go. Your first step is to come. You cannot make God known if you do not know him for yourself. You cannot speak of his saving power if you've never experienced that saving power for yourself. And the good news for you, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you'll turn from your sin, if you'll put your faith, your trust, your confidence in the Son of God, then you can be forgiven, restored, and brought into a right relationship with our Heavenly Father right here, right now. And for the rest of us, the majority of us, you do know him, right? So the question for you becomes, are you living on mission? Are you leveraging your time, your resources, your relationships so that others might know God and glorify his name? Or has the blessing of God in your life become something that you simply enjoy for yourselves and withhold from others? So, today's challenge is the challenge to realign your life with the purpose of God. To say, Lord, everything that you have given me, I want to use it so that others will know you and give glory to your great name. For all of us, our time is short. We have no idea how long we'll be in this world. The time is short, the need is urgent, and the mission is clear. So, for the last time, if you hadn't heard it yet, may you hear it now. God blesses his people so that his saving power will be known and that his praise will spread among all peoples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be a people who don't just receive your blessing, but who fully give ourselves in service unto you so that we might leverage the blessings that we've received to point others unto you. Oh God, awaken within us the desire to share the gospel with all people in all places at all times. God, may we give our lives and sacrifice unto you. And God, help us to stop hoarding your blessings. And God, may we truly understand that blessed people bless others. So God, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the work that you're doing in and through this church. And Father, may we not be settled or comfortable in our own desires, wishes, and wants, but may we be propelled to greater service unto you. May we be awakened to the reality that we are surrounded by great desperation and wickedness, that we are surrounded with people that need Christ. Oh, Father, put within us a desire to share with all people. God, put within us a willingness to use the spiritual gift that you have blessed us with so that we might be a blessing unto others. And in this song of response, Father, for sins to be confessed, commitments to be made, decisions to be declared, whatever needs to happen, Father, in order for us to walk out of here in right relationship with you, Father, we ask that you just make it happen. May you be honored. May you be glorified. May you be praised by the response of your people. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.